Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBots with Bobby Chulo.
Yeah, but it sucks because they won't let Rick Steiner's son use the Steiner name for something. This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. But anyways, for the people listeners, you're here. You're live back on Tuesday with WrestleBots with Bobby Chulo. Got my man Michael Parks with you. Mike, how are you, man? Long time no talk, man. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good, man. Just sitting here watching the end of this match.
the one for NXT?
Yes.
Well, you know, everybody was looking forward to that match, and unfortunately we had to go on the air, and I'm in the studio right now, better known as the kitchen, to do the show, so I wasn't able to watch it. So we'll talk about that later. But real quick, before we get into that, Patrick Becker's coming on at about the 7:45 mark. I've had him booked a couple of times. Hold on a minute. I got to get off them smokes. And the two times, first time it was Blog Talk that the server went down and I wasn't able to get him on. And then he had his fight and I was going to bring him on after that and wasn't able to connect with him on that. So he should be good to go at about 7:45. Then Jackie called me and said, hey, power's out over here. Call him on my phone. She just texts back and said, okay, you can call back on his phone. So hopefully we're going to get through this and be okay. And all I can hear is Michael Parks TV. Do you have it on extra loud volume?
How about now?
Okay, and we all know that you got a stereo bar, okay? You don't have to rub it in our face. But real quick, so what's been going on, man? I haven't been able to talk, and I'm going to tell you why in just a minute, but what's been going on with the Michael Parks and the Pacific Wrestling Alliance?
Man, hey, I've been sitting here wheeling and dealing, talking to Hector from the East Rancho Dominguez Center, and it's looking like things are going down, so we may be able to do a show there in January.
Okay.
Exactly now, where we wanted to be, so.
When you do a show in January, are you talking late January or early February?
Because,
you know, after Christmas, a lot of people spend all their money on Christmas gifts or whatever, so we usually give January a little bit of time to get your finances in gear, or do you think now with everybody getting unemployment and not going back to work, we'll be okay?
No, mid-January.
Okay, perfect. Well, we look forward to that. I've been talking to Mike a little bit, just texting here and there, because that's why we have this here, you know, broadcast, get it out, people know who you are, and then when you do your show, they go, oh, they're going to do a show, and we're good to go. So we'll keep everybody posted on that. What I would hope is that I could just go away and ride off into the sunset. But first, before we talk about that, dude, so much is going on. I'm injured. I got two shows coming up that I had, which is the worst call I hate to make, is when I'm booked somewhere and call somebody that I can't make it. So I'll talk about that. But, dude, remember with the whole thing about hacking with the Facebook? Somebody, not only did they hack my Messenger, but the Facebook also. So now I have no Facebook at all. I don't know if they timed me out. Or I did something wrong or whatever, but I am off Facebook completely. So I haven't had time to check and see what's going on, whatever. So, you know, I haven't used Twitter in ages, dude. And then the Instagram I use every once in a while. So most of my stuff is on Instagram now. So, but then, you know, it's weird because you have everybody's information, you know, in your Facebook and you just go back and forth with them so long. I had to redo a whole bunch of stuff. So I wasn't able to get Patrick Becker's stuff because I have it all on Facebook. So we'll get all that straightened out or whatever, but that happened. So that was one thing. And then you remember, Mike, a while back we had Enigma on and we talked about injuries, and it puts you in a spot because, you know, you're injured. So you don't want to let the promoter down because he's got you booked, he's got you on the flyer, but then you don't want to go to the show and work and look like shift. You know what I mean? Because I don't know what to do. So Guyam has the big Halloween show coming up this Sunday. It's an afternoon show because it's like right on Halloween, and he's got La Momia and the Werewolf and Frankenstein and all. It's a whole big Halloween show. He's raffling off, you know, money if you buy your tickets and all that. So it was going to be myself, Robbie Phoenix, and El Diablo against the Mexi Machos and Cristel Coatele, you know. So That's the call. But, dude, okay, do you want me to tell you what the injury is?
I think I know.
You know, Mike, you've known me for such a long time, and you get these stupid things in your head, right? So, I have my okay. When all this stuff went down with the COVID, you couldn't buy weights anywhere. I mean, everybody was making their homes gyms. It was so hard to get weights. So it took me a full year to get my home gym the way I wanted in the garage. So I had the dumbbells that go start at 25 and go all the way up to 85. Why I went up to 85? I don't want to kill myself, but a lot of times when I'm working my back or whatever, I can get up to 85. Anyways, so you have your day. Some days, no problem. I'll get up to, I never go past the 60s, to be honest. And even if I rep out at 15 or whatever, I never go past that. So it was one of those days where you just felt so strong. I'm like, dude, I can keep going and going. So go 60. And I go 65. Then I go, man, I'm feeling good. I'm going to go 75. Boom, I go 75. I still feel good. I get the 80s, right? I lay back. I do two reps. I go to go do that third rep. Oh, and I thought, oh, my God, I tore an ab muscle. I go, I know I'm fat, but there's some ab muscles. Something's not right. Drop the weights, bam, whatever. Go home. I said, wow, tell my wife. Oh, dude, I think I tore a muscle or stretched it or something. I said, I'm dying over here. So the next morning I get up and my belly button was swollen almost completely shut. And, dude, I could, you laugh or you cough. It was killing me. So I go see my doctor and he goes, yeah, man, you got an umbilical hernia. I said, well, I've had, the other hernia surgery. But they said, yeah. He said, it's poking. You're like, it's poking through. So you don't want it to cut off your intestines and all. Like, what?
Oh, so whoa.
He goes, you got to go see the surgeon because I don't know if he could push it back in or cut it open, sew it, or if he has to put – it was a whole long thing, right? But everything is so busy right now that, people trying to get everything done before you have to renew your insurance and stuff. I can't get in to see the surgeon till December 15th. That's just to get in there and see if he has to cut me open or not. So it's like I can't do nothing in the meantime. I go, I'm going to be 400 pounds by the time I get over there. At least the weights in the gym kept me going, So we can't do it there. Well, can I wrestle? Yeah, why don't you go wrestle? And then when your intestines pop out, you can just go to the emergency and then you'll have emergency surgery. So does that mean no? Yeah, stupid. So I had to call Kai. Hold on a second. I just ripped my headphone out because I'm laughing so much. Hang on. Oh, my God. Now I'm going to have your problem. So that's the calls I hate to make, dude. I had to call Kai and say, hey, man, I'm sorry, man. I don't, I'm not going to be able to. And that's one person that I hate to make that call to because he does everything for me. Him and Enigma, like I said before, I've even paid Enigma because he's not even booked, but he still comes and does promos and publicity, and he's always there, So that sucked. But he's got a big show coming up this Halloween Sunday. It's a 2 p.m. show. And he says, we will be starting at 2 because we got to get out of there. So make sure you come down. He's got a whole card lineup. You check out Lucha Libre Alliance, and you could check it out there. So then after that, Lucha Libre Nueva Generacion, which is like one of the guys that works for Richard Garcia, he calls me, hey, bro, hey, we got a big show coming up on the 7th. Can you work? I'm like, yeah, no problem. So I haven't even made that call yet, which is a punk move because it's like he's got to know. But like, I don't want to. I just don't want to make that call, but you have to. And then a big show on December 18th, and I had all – so I'm like – well, I don't even see the doctor till the 15th, so maybe I can make the 18th. And then I'm like, oh, so anyways, it's a big mess. So right now that's what's happening, which sucks really bad because I had so much going on and I was on a roll. I was doing well training, and then just in an instant, it's just done, and it sucks. But anyways, that's what's happening with that. But as I was scrolling, they got a show coming up for a new company. It's going to be over at Delos. I was going to tell you, it's the November 6th, if I'm not mistaken, Saturday, November 6th, and they're bringing Sabu down just to make an appearance. I don't think he's going to wrestle, but it's $20 to get in and $10 for kids. So I said, well, I'd like to go. I wanted to go the last two times, but I haven't been able to go. So I would like to go. So, Mike, I don't know what you got going on November 6th, but if you don't have anything going on, I say we go down and check out this show. It's going to be at Del O's, and you know there's parking. We get there early, tailgate, whatever, and then go check
right.
it out. So I called John and I said, hey, man, I might come down and check out the show. He said, oh, yeah, come down. He goes, well, why don't you get here early and do the jiu-jitsu class, and then you could stay for the show. And I'm like, he goes, damn it, don't lie to me, man. I'm serious. He goes, put some kinesiology tape over it, and then it'll just hold it in.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to laugh because it's going to make it pop out. But
exactly. I'm like, oh, don't lie, dude. What is he?
He's like Mexican.
He's trying to chill
you. Just put a quarter for weight and then put the kinesiology over it. And hold it in. What is this, voodoo? I'm like, you know me. Like, okay, John, all right, man. Yeah, no problem with it. I ain't getting there till the door's open at 6:30. I ain't going to walk in till 6:45. Dude, was today the day?
I forgot.
Yeah, so I forgot. I'll talk to you off there if you want to go check that out. It's a pretty good little lineup, and you know, just to go see Sabu for $20, I'm totally down, or whatever, because I want to go the last two times. So I'll keep you updated on that, because you know, did I tell you, Mike, that I went to go see UEW at Metroflex, you know, because Homeless Jimmy I've known for a little while, and he was doing his big retirement thing over there, giving up the belt. And I thought it was a work, but he legitimately gave it up. And they brought down Gino, Told You So, Gino Rivera from Arizona, or Albuquerque he lives. They brought him down to wrestle, and so we wanted to go check it out. And Jessica bought front row. She even paid for VIP front row or whatever. So I still have the hernia at this time. As a matter of fact, it was only 3 days old, so I was hurting. So we're sitting in the front row or whatever. So Jessica was to my left, and then some people next to her, and then this kid was to my right. That was his first show. He's in college, and he's writing some papers, so he wanted to go see these independent shows because that's what he's doing. So I what's up, man? I said, well, look, man, I know this is your first show, I said, but we're sitting in the front row. I said, if somebody comes flying out, I can't move, so I'm going to grab you and throw you in front of me. What? I said, yeah, man, because if not, hold on, man. I said, all right, man, I'm not making no promises, because if they come out, I can't move, and they're just going to crush me, so I got to please go over. So that dude sat in fear that whole night or whatever. Anyways, I got to take the big break, but let me end with this, and we'll try to come back to it later if we have time. But the show was pretty good. I had Danielle, the promoter, you know, or whatever. I had her on my other show, and we talked a little bit about it, because it didn't get started till the doors are supposed to open at 6:30. First match was supposed to be at 7. We didn't get in the building until 7:40. It's like, dude, but I had her on, and we talked about it and all that. But anyways, the Sean Black fought for the belt at the end, and he was fighting BC Killer. And I didn't know what was going on. I can't move, dude. I got a hernia, and I'm fat, and knees are messed up or whatever. So I didn't know what was going on, but there was these people to our right. I guess they're local, like, you know, every show, and they had signs, and, you know, they were flipping everybody off and smoking marijuana and drinking beers, and definitely not a family show. I mean, they were really, you know, some really bad stuff going on over there. But anyways, so I don't know what happened, but Shiloh Graves came out of nowhere and hit BC Killer with the cane. And when he powdered out on that side, dude, these knuckleheads just started bombing on him. And I'm looking, and you know what, first thing, is that a work? What the hell's going on here? You know, you don't know what's
right.
going on. But I see somebody get cracked and go down. And I said, okay, now it's not a work. So then what the hell I'm going to do, I don't know. So I get up and I start walking, like, to go help, and I'm thinking, I can't help her, you know. So these two white kids, it was funny because Sean Black was bagging on him because he had a members only jacket on, and his buddy that was smoking weed and drinking all night, the crowd starts to go toward, you know, the gate where you come in at Metroflex.
Yeah.
It starts going over there. So Tony Boy Fury was security. So he grabs Shiloh Graves and he's telling him, back up. I turn around and I'm right there where they're swinging. So I got to back up a little bit. And this white kid, I don't know what he was thinking. He like rears back to throw a punch and Shiloh Graves just goes, fuck at their lives and just cracks. And it looked like, you know, the Night of the Zombies when they're walking around like that. That's what he looks like. And I start laughing. I go, oh, you stupid. So his buddy goes to jump on it, and then he gets cracked. So now him and his buddy are walking around like zombies, and I'm laughing. I'm, wait a minute. So I start to back up, and I'm laughing, and I'm going, just so funny, they got Shiloh Graves out the gate, and these guys had to sit down because they had both got, he got them both square. And I'm thinking, I turn around and Jessica's right behind me. She taped a little bit of it. I'll tell her to show it to you. She taped just a little bit when they were fighting. And she goes, what the hell are you doing? I go, you know what? They started fighting. And she goes, yeah, you're going to get hurt. So she goes, but I grabbed your tobacco and I grabbed your, because the sodas were $3. And you know me. And she goes, I grabbed your tobacco and your sodas because I know you'd be mad if somebody lost.
Oh, my God.
So, that was the best part of the show. I mean, that was better than any match. I mean, it was fights and beers flying. It was awesome. It was great. So I'll try to talk a little bit more about that when we go towards the end. But when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about NXT. I want to see, Mike, did you get to see XPW Dark Side of the Ring?
I saw a little bit of it.
Okay. We're going to delve into that a little bit, and then Patrick Becker is going to be here at about 7:45 or so. We're going to talk some MMA because I think he kind of got robbed, you know. But we'll talk about that because, you know, the judging and all that. We'll get into that. But I got to take the extended break, so let's take that. I'll be right back with Michael Parks, and I'll try to let him get a few words in here and there. We'll be right back. Hang on.
Hey everyone, it's Denise Salcedo here in Lucha Central Central with a look at all of the great shows available this week on the Lucha Central Podcast Network, where you can always find each show on its own or subscribe to the Lucha Central Podcast Network show for every show in one easy feed. Monday, Lucha Libre Figures and Facts returns as the crew talks about the history of one of Lucha Libre's most influential personalities, Conan, including an in-depth look at his Toy Biz WCW Slammin' Crunch action figure. Tuesday, it's Mass, Mats, and Mayhem as Lucha Underground executive producer and showrunner Eric Van Wagenen is back for part two of his interview, where he gets confronted with the number one question on the minds of series fans. Will Lucha Underground return? Tune in Tuesday for his answer and a whole lot more. Thursday, on Straight Out of the Bodega, Papo Esco and Gabriel Ramirez are joined by WWE NXT referee Tom Caster, who trained for his career in NorCal and was part of many area promotions, including PWR, before his move to the international stage. The trio talks Tom's incredible journey leading up to his tryout, signing with WWE, and the road to recovery after his gruesome injury where his leg snapped mid-match, but he kept officiating until the end. This is an interview you won't want to miss. Also, Thursday and in Español, the number one Spanish language wrestling podcast in the U.S., La Mesa de los Margaros, is all new. And AAA Exotico Mamba pulls up a seat at the table. On Friday, we've got one of the top Lucha Libre podcasts on the U.S. iTunes charts, Lucha Central Weekly, and the number one wrestling podcast in Mexico, Lucha Central Weekly en Español. Get all the latest news on the road to Lucha Libre restarting in Mexico, plus a check-in on the top names in Lucha Libre and U.S. promotions, including WWE and AEW. Be sure to subscribe and follow all your favorite Lucha Central Network series on your favorite podcast platforms, and please be sure to give a rating and review to help more fans find the shows that you love. For now, this is Denise Salcedo signing off from Lucha Central Central. Have a great week.
A la máquina. Patrick just sent me a text, and he's going to be ready to go at 7:30, so we have about 8 minutes to talk. So real quick, Mike, give me your thoughts, because I had called you. Remember I called you? You were in Vegas to go see the Raider game, and I told you it was taking forever to get in. So give me your thoughts on that real quick.
Wait, on what?
Give me your thoughts on why do these people, after all, you know, I don't know why these people think that wrestlers either – don't know how to fight or just going to take your crap and walk off, because you know the thing. I mean, granted, there's no barricade to come over, because, you know, if you come over the barricade, that's it. You know, it's on. There was no barricade. But when you put your hands on a wrestler, I mean, that's fair game, right?
Yeah, well, you know, back in the day, you know, Bill Watts, he'd fire a wrestler if he lost a real fight. You know?
Yeah.
He would. I don't get, maybe it's because wrestling fans, you know, think it's not real, so that maybe they think the wrestlers can fight. But when you step, you know, between those ropes and get all pigeon chested, you don't get stomped out by everybody in the ring. It's not just the one person you're going after. Everybody in the ring is going to beat you up. And
I know. What are you thinking, man? I mean, you think you're old.
I don't have a clue, man. It's like watching that dude that rolled into the ring and Scott Hall and Kevin Nash just teed off on him. It's
exactly.
You want to feel how it is in the ring? Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
But don't
think about suing anybody, because you brought it on yourself. Those two dudes at that show.
Yeah, I don't know what their mindset is. Like, they're just gonna let that go. I mean, you're putting your hands on me, dude. You know, or whatever.
Yeah.
It popped, but anyways, I gotta be honest, man. I mean, I had, and this is what's making it worse for me, because I'm. You know, I'm old, and now I'm getting injured, you know, and I don't want to look like Shift. And it was funny because Homeless Jimmy was saying that, too. He goes, I don't want to pull up here in a wheelchair, you know, to give my last retirement speech, so I'm leaving or whatever. And I'm like, but so far since I've cut way back, believe me. I mean, at least I'm lucky that I have the privilege to kind of pick and choose where I want to work, you know. And I work for the people that have helped me, especially guys like I am, who's always, you know, never been a comes to everything and does whatever, you know. So I work with him, but I've had so much fun going to a show, and just, you know, when we went to go see that show at Del O's, I mean, we just, you know, we just had fun, chew tobacco, you know, have a beer, whatever, and just it was fun. So it was the same way with this show. I didn't even, you know, it takes a lot to get me out of the house, man, because I work so much at my other job. And she said, no, I was able to get VIP or whatever. I want to sit up front. I want to check out because Gino's come out. I'm like, ah. And then when I went, I was like, so I couldn't even go to sleep because I just could. And then did you see when that knucklehead? And then remember that stupid idiot? So I've been having a good time just going to the shows and checking them out. And then I got to, you know, talk to Homeless Jimmy for a little while. And I'll support you, man. So I bought a shirt from Gino and stuff like that, because, you know, I like to take care of those guys, because, you know, they're working hard, man, you know, to get it out there. So I really enjoy it and have fun. So that's why I'm telling Mike, let's go check out that show, because to go see Sabu for $20 and see, to me, that's worth it. You know, I just want to go, hey, what's up, man? And then he's going to be like, F you. And I'm going to be like, well, how's your hip? And he's going, who the F are you? And you know what I mean? I look forward to that.
Somewhere?
You know? Yeah, he's going to go, I'll go, yeah, you know, you were supposed to do my show and you never answered your phone or whatever. And he's going to go, so? You know, whatever. He just worked for Inoki. He just worked for Inoki Dojo last week, too. Him and Psicosis went against Lapernito and Blood Eagle or whatever. So I'm interested to see how that went or whatever. But anyways, Mike, let me get Patrick Becker in here. Let's talk some MMA, and I'll talk to him for a minute. And then when we come after that, I want to talk some XPW because a lot of people, dude, have been calling me and asking me about this. I only work two shows for them, okay? And I'm supposed to save it because there's a couple of people that want me to give the story about when Pogo busted my eardrum and all that stuff. Because, man, we were there that night that New Jack threw Vic Grimes off the scaffold, and I thought, oh, my God, I have never seen anything like that in my life. So I'm like, something's not right here. When I was looking around, something's not right here to throw people off scaffolds.
No kidding.
But
for more people to not be like, no, dude, no. Everybody's like, yeah.
What the hell are you doing? Dude, it was Ron. I worked for Ron Rivera at Revolution Pro for years, and you know, he's the one who called me last minute. It's a whole story, dude. I have to get, but I'm looking at Ron going, what the hell is going on here, dude? He's like, oh, my God, I think he's dead. So we'll talk a little bit about that, and then we'll talk about, that's why I still work for Kevin and whatever he needs, you know, because, you know, like I tell you all the time, Mike, I'm done. I want to go walk off into the sunset. But, you know, Kevin has that is one, and it's very far and few between in this business, but that's a stand-up dude who sticks to his word and all that. So, you know, just like I am, if there's anything I could do for him, I'm more than happy to do it. He's a big reason why, you know, I got a second shot over there and all that. So I'll delve into a little bit of that when we come back. But let me take a break. We'll talk to Patrick Becker. We'll talk some MMA because I've been wanting to talk to him for a while, and then we'll get into that when we come back. So hang on, everybody. We'll be right back. Hang on, Mike.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world. From weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to lucha-masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at lucha-masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Forgot to mute you there for a second, Mike. And we're here. Because I'm trying to get Patrick's number, and first Jackie said, well, call me because there's no power, but then Patrick said, no, I'm good, so go ahead and give me a number. So let me, and remind me too, dude, to tell you about, because I don't know why, but I'm gonna go on record right here as state. I don't think Nicho, El Millonario, the original Psicosis, I don't think that dude likes me or whatever. I don't think, because when we did the show over there at when you did your show for Big House Promotions, we were cool or whatever. But then for some reason after that, I don't know if he was just messing with me or whatever, but I'll give you a story, because on the second time I went to work for XPW, him and Damon and Halloween and all them, whether or not I'll tell you what they did to me over there. They, you know, they're probably just messing with me, but I don't know. Who knows? So let me give Patrick a call real quick. We'll talk some MMA, and then when we come back, we'll talk to the next XPW. and some Nicho and some Damien and some Halloween. How about that?
Right on.
Hello.
Hey, Patrick, it's Fabiano. You're live on WrestleBoss. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Ah, it's beautiful.
How's
real
going?
Quick for the people, good for the people listening to us. You're here. You're at WrestleBoss Live. Don't forget, you can go to WrestleBossLive.com to check out all the latest interviews and everything that we have up there. And you can always go to LuchaCentral.com. They put everything up on all the vehicles for podcasts and everything after that. But on the line with us right now, somebody I've been trying to get on for quite some time, but first time it was my fault. Everything went down. It was a big mess, and then he had stuff going on, but I finally got him here, Patrick Becker. Patrick Becker, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, doing good, just relaxing.
Which is good. You know, I got my friend Michael Parks here, who's been with me for like 20-plus years or whatever, and he's very steadily starting to get acclimated to the jiu-jitsu and the grappling and the MMA scene. So real quick, Mike, say hi to Patrick.
How you doing, the Fever Chief?
Hey, what's up, Mike? Where are you training at?
Well, right now, I'm not training right now. I'm just now getting, you know, I'm a wrestler. I wrestle freestyle, folk style, Greco-Roman, so I'm just now getting into that side of sports. So, yeah.
Where did you wrestle at?
I wrestled it in high school, and for the Sunkist Kids, a long time ago. I'm 50 years old, man.
Oh, wow.
Hey,
Sunkist,
you know,
Kids,
I haven't, with this show, because what's the word I'm looking for? I haven't been able to, you know, get it to where I wanted to. I haven't been able to take him with me because with the show, when I was working for On the Mat, we would go to these I had Sergio with me, and we'd go to these different dojos. And I never believed in judo. And then we went to the Anaconda Academy, and they had this little dude that was like 5'4". Toss me like it was nothing, and then I became a believer.
Yeah.
You know, and then it was the same thing with Sergio. We Ronda Rousey's mom did a seminar at Gracie Barra out there, way in the heck out there, and we stayed, you know, for the seminar. We had her on the air, and she said, "Oh yeah," because Sergio was 320 pounds back then or whatever, and she said, "Oh yeah, I'll show." And I'm like, "He's gonna fall right on top of her, dude, and crush her." And man, that woman. Everything that they say about her is true. I mean, I was standing there going, wow, this lady is amazing. So that's where Mike is right now. I haven't been able to get him out there to get him tossed around yet or whatever, but we're working on it. But anyways, real quick, Patrick.
Mike, do you know, did you know Dan Severn?
Yeah.
Because you're from there and then did the professional wrestling. I know he's a pro wrestler too.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Mike,
Dan,
I think...
Dan Severn. Severn and... Jeez. I'm looking at it. Don Fry.
Yeah.
He started the Sunkist Kids, right? Severn did.
Yeah.
Long time ago.
Well, it all coincides.
15.
Yeah, because back in the day, Dan Severn and Sabu used to have the same manager. Her name was Phyllis back then, and we talked to her. Dude, this is way back in the day. But real quick, Patrick, I got to tell you, man. Well, first of all, my Facebook got hacked, and it got completely shut down. Dude, I'm telling you, it's.
I got some message from you.
Yeah, well, people kind of bag on it, but I get a lot of information from there, you know. And I had a lot of stuff ready for Patrick, and then it got hacked, so you know I had to kind of fly off the cuff or whatever. But real quick, I want to go back to your fight that you had over in Orange County, because I didn't get to see the whole fight, but I saw a lot of clips and everything. And I've had a lot of people when I said that I was going to have you on saying, "Hey, man, you know, Duke got robbed." You know, and they say, well, you know, you can't leave it to the judges or whatever. Yeah, but, you know, first of all, you've never been in the cage, so you're Monday night quarterback and you don't know, you know, what it takes or whatever, right? So, I know you're not too familiar with me, but I've been doing this for years. I worked for Tapa for 7 years. Then I worked for Ed Suarez for 1 year, and then I worked for OTM for almost 8 years. Matter of fact, I still work with Scotty, you know, here and there. And then I was the announcer for King of the Cage for 3 years. So when you're right there, you know, up against the cage, I mean, when they take those body shots, I'm like, man, these guys, you see what it takes, you know, to get in that cage. Now, the question I have for you, this is what we go back and forth with all the time. I mean, everybody I have on, you know, all judges are different. Okay, like me, I say if you're moving forward and you're pushing the fight and you're trying, you know, to either, you know, get him up against the cage and get him down or go for a submission or whatever, I'm going to swing more in your favor. But then there's judges who, like, you know, if you take somebody down and pull guard but you're still working for a submission, think, oh, no, he's on his back, he's losing the fight. You know what I mean? So real quick, for the people listening to us on WrestleBoss Live, tell me a little bit about that fight. I saw the pieces, and I thought, man, I would have gave it to Patrick, not just because, you know, we have you on the show, but he was moving forward. He was pushing the fight. He's not backing up and, you know, literally on his bike running around. So real quick,
yeah,
give me
I was landing the shots.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't want to, like, badmouth the promotion too much because I am going back to fight for them in, like, 3 weeks or a little bit less.
Yes.
Than 3 weeks. I'm going to fight there again. But, you know, I will just say that guy was favored. They had him as the favorite in the fight. I don't know if politics were involved or not, you know, but
yeah.
Or if money or any of that stuff was involved. You know, but I will say that his team used a few tactics to kind of try and get their little advantage on me. But, you know, they didn't think that I was as good as I was going to be. And then the people running the show, you know, they put the favorites in one corner and then they put the people that they think is going to lose in the other corner. Well, I think that they didn't know too much about me and just thought I was going to come in and lose to this guy because he had a lot more fights than me. And I came in and, you know, did what I did, but I didn't get the finish, and that's on me. Because I haven't fought for so long, I just kind of, like, need to knock the ring rust off and, you know, remember how much fun it actually is. And, like, I had a blast, and, you know, the outcome, I feel like they kind of robbed it from me. But, you know, there's always that problem with the commission anyways, because a lot of these judges aren't MMA judges. A lot of them are from the boxing world. It's the California State Athletic Commission, which is the boxing commission, and that's the governing body here in California.
Right.
You know, so you see that a lot. It's whatever, you know. Like, I'll notice, like, I went back and watched the video, like, a few times, and I hear the guy's corner, like, they're sitting right next to the judge. Anytime shots were landed, even when I was the one landing the shots, you know, and making the noise of, you know, the impact of the hit, the hand hitting the flesh, and, you know, you could hear that, and then they would yell nice to the and say their guy's name, and it was like just one little thing that I noticed that they were doing, and I don't know if that kind of swayed the judges or if they already had their mind up, but I did notice that now they have me on the opposite side of the poster in the other corner for this next fight like this. So, you know, I think they're betting on me to win this next one because, you know, they saw
what you can do.
Well, they didn't even really see really what I can do because this time I'm going to get a finish.
Well,
so,
you know, I don't know if this will get me in trouble. Honestly, I don't care. I haven't worked for the King of the Cage for over a year now or almost 2 years. But when we would go, and let me tell you, man, for 3 years, it was the best time of my life. I mean, I got really well taken care of and everything. But there was, like, we'd go to these Indian reservations, right, and you pay a one-time fee. You know, there's no athletic commission or anything. So those fights were completely different to what I would see when we would go where you have to go through the commission and go through the state. Like, let's say Texas or Albuquerque. Because what a lot of people don't understand is that's a state job. So a lot of these people who get in there, you know, they get their cousins in there or whatever, and it's people who've never really even seen fights, let alone been on a mat or been in the ring. You know what I mean? But what I'm saying is, you know, especially somebody like Patrick, they're judging your fight, and this means a lot, you know, because they're going to put a loss on your record.
It means everything to me, you know.
Right.
But so, you can't – as they were, like, reading off the decision –
yeah.
Like, I'm standing there, and I know in my heart I won the fight, and then, like, I just, they announce it, and I'll just remember going through, like, so many different, a roller coaster of emotions, you know, where I'm like, fuck, you know, and then my first instinct is like, no, that's not true, and then, like, you could see in the video, like, I hang my head, and then my girlfriend Jackie, she yells at me, don't hang your head, and I, and then I, like, just accept it, and I become a sportsman, and then I say, you know, my congratulations to my opponent, because that's just that's just part of it. You know, you just have to accept it and move on.
And, you know, it's just like you know, I read a lot of biographies and all that. And I read Dan Gable's, and he, one thing that always stuck with me, he said, you know what, my guys, I don't care if they win or lose. I just want that opponent to come off the mat and say, I never want to wrestle that guy again. You know what I mean? Because you just put so much on them. Win or lose, they know. And that, okay, when I used to work for Del O for Long Beach Fight Night, that's how it was. He would say, hey, I don't care if you win or lose. You come and fight. You know, I'm going to bring you back, you know, and that's what I liked about that. And, you know, that's also leading into, real quick, for the people listening to us, you're here, you're at WrestleBoss Live. Don't forget, you can go to WrestleBossLive.com, and we're talking to Patrick Becker, talking a little bit about the fight and the judges and stuff like that. But real quick, before I get into that, you know, I've always had a good working relationship with Millennia MMA, with, you know, Batiste and Romy and all them. Lorenz Larkin, was amazing, man. When he first started, he was always coming out this way and doing our shows. And, you know, when I saw him, man, that guy's got the fastest hands, you know, I've ever seen. Really? So how did you get involved with that? I mean, is that local to where you're at and you started training over there, or how did all that come about when you started working over there?
No, it's not local. I used to train with these guys in downtown Riverside at a gym it was called Temple MMA, and it's closed now. And I was just like, when I first started going around, like, looking for MMA gyms, I know there was this little shopping arcade. It had two gyms next to it. And then one of them was Riverside Submission. And then the other one was this other one that's not there anymore. And they had a cage. So I picked the one that had a cage. And, you know, I was training with these guys. And, like, I didn't know, but, you know, these guys were, like, guys that had, you know, they were like, they got kicked out of all the other gyms, you know, and just started their own gym. And, you know, I pretty much just sparred hard and rolled hard for a year or two, not really doing any technique. And, you know, I had like three fights and, you know, eventually started winning some tournaments, you know, and one of the guys there, he would always tell me, you know, like, eventually you're going to have to go to a better gym. You know, you're going to have, you know, and he was a really cool guy. He wouldn't, you know, in a lot of places, people will try to hold on to you or try to, especially in the fight game, they'll try to use you to, you know, make themselves look better, you know, and that's how I know this guy was like really one of my friends. 'Cause he would always tell me, you know, you're going to have to go to this gym, even though like a lot of those guys had got kicked out of that gym.
Yeah,
but I would always think, oh man, one of these days I'm gonna have to go to Millennia, you know. And eventually, I started going there, you know, and like I would walk into the door and I'd have like butterflies.
Yeah, but that's,
you know, and then I just stayed there for years, you know, for years, and it's not a close. It's always been about like half an hour to an hour drive for me, you know, and I'll make that drive once, sometimes, usually twice a day, and. I'm just loyal, and these are the guys that really I've developed my skill sets under, you know, so it's just where I'm from. That's where I train out of. And
And when you get to a certain level, you know, you want to be, you know, continue up in your game. That's why I liked Long Beach Fight Night so much, because Del O we'd be, you know, checking the guys in and getting ready for weigh-ins and stuff. And he would say, I bring these dudes from Millennia MMA because when they come, I know they're going to put on a fight. You know, that's good training. Or they had big heat with Thomas Denny when he was over here. He'd say, yeah, you know what, I got heat with them, but I'm bringing his fighters because those guys can go. You know what I mean? So to me, that's what makes, you know, a good company or whatever, because they don't care the outcome. They just know that they're getting these guys to bring a good fight. But real quick, can you hang on real quick, Patrick, so I take a quick break? I want to talk a little jiu-jitsu with you. Can you hang on for just like 30 seconds?
Yeah, for
all
sure.
Right, hang on, everybody. We'll be right back with Patrick Becker and, of course, my man Michael Parks. Hang on, everybody.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world. From weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free.
LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBot with Bobby Chulo.
Yeah, talking to Patrick Becker, talk a little bit about, you know, training, and once you up your game, you know, you got to start really, you know, keep going. And some fighters are like that. Some people, they want to stay low, stay at the same gym, but then some go, hey, man, I'm getting to a certain level. I got to, you know, start getting some different looks and everything like that. So we're talking about that. But real quick, because I'm running up, yo, go ahead.
I have a question. I have a question for Patrick.
Go for it.
You're going to be fighting in you said 3 weeks or so for this same company that the same promotion that you just fought for, right?
Yeah, and 2 weeks after.
Okay, what is your mentality going into that fight, knowing what just happened this previous fight? Are you psyching yourself up to say I need a knockout to make it a definitive W, or are you going in there with the I can do what I did the last fight, but just kind of tweak it and turn it up a little bit more. What's your psyche going on?
Yeah, pretty much the second one, and then I'm also like, you know what I mean. I realize now that I can't like let off the gas, and you know I kind of reassured myself of some things of just like, you know, for me it was fun. I had a good time in there. And I can't wait to do it again. And, you know, it's not about, for me, it's just about fighting and staying active. And this promotion offered me that chance to be able to do that. And that's hard to do right now, is to find fights. It's very hard right now. So I'm going to go back there, you know, and it did have its drawbacks, but I truly believe in my heart that I'm going to smash this next person and I'm going to finish them. And that's what I'm going out there to do. And, you know, on the bright side, I'll be able to jump up on the turnbuckles and throw my hands up, and I wouldn't be able to do that if it was in the cage. You know what I mean? So that's cool. You know what I mean? I can kind of play for the crowd a little bit better. You know, and then after I get done out there, I'm gonna jump on the mic and I'm gonna call out one of these boxers.
Yo, okay.
Oh, that's right.
It makes
that's right.
Cut
a, I'm gonna cut a promo on them.
Yeah.
As you should.
Well. Real quick, I know you're not too familiar with me, but and I know you know who Jackie is. And her dad, Mike Cataline, I grew up with him. I was 13 years old when I first moved to Long Beach. And Mike and his dad lived across the street from me. So I grew up with them. And, we, you know, high school, we went to Jordan, and that's when Mike said, you got to get into wrestling. You got to start, you know, your wrestling there and everything. And I'm like, yeah. And then as we grew older, you know, and had kids – when they went to Milliken, when my daughter was going to go to Milliken, he said, hey, go to Milliken, talk to Coach Thompson. He needs help. You need to help coach over there. So I ended up coaching for the 4 years that my daughter was there, and I ended up staying three more after that because I just enjoyed it so much, just enjoyed the, you know, helping the kids and seeing these kids who were struggling get to a certain point. So, you know, I always listed him as one of the smartest things I've ever done. But here's the thing. And this is a question I have for you. Mike and them had a little dojo not too far from Milliken, and we used to go there, Sergio and I, to train. And we're wrestlers. We hated the gi because it's so different. And Mike would say, you got to train that goddamn gi, and that's how you learn. And he would whoop our ass. I mean, he was – and I'm like, I hate this gi. They can grab everything. I'm getting choked out by eight-year-olds in the kids' class or whatever. And I hated it. So when Mike and them moved – I was like, thank God I don't have to train in that gi anymore. And then when we moved over to on the mat with Scotty Nelson, he said, no, you guys got to train in the gi, man. It's all part of it. And we hated it. I've always hated it. I've learned to accept it and, you know, and try. But it's a mindset. Do you get that way? Because I see you training both. Or is it just a natural progression? Or is it just a mind thing?
What, training in the gi?
Training in the gi when you're coming from a wrestling background.
I don't really come from a wrestling background.
Uh-huh.
I've always like been fascinated with wrestling my whole life, professional wrestling, right. and you know, dabbled in amateur wrestling in high school, and then always kind of like try to find my way back to that. And, you know, but, you know, Jackie and Mike have helped me a lot with my wrestling.
Right. And a lot of people, you know, look at me now like a wrestler. Even in this last tournament that I was at, you know, the European judo black belt told me they didn't want to stand on the feet with me. He was wanted to pull guard, you know, because, you know, everyone thinks I'm a wrestler now. But I love training in the gi. The gi is like a big part of, I don't know, for me, it feels like I'm putting a weapon on.
Yeah.
And then also you can, you know, nowadays you can get stylish gis and, you know, I got a sick hookup on gi, so I have a lot of nice gis now.
Yeah.
When I first started training, I didn't like the gi because it takes away all the athleticism and there's no slipping away. There's no, like, you're stuck there and you have to rely on technique, you know. But I will say it's a completely different world from wrestling. It's a completely different from MMA. That's something else, jiu-jitsu and the gi. It's a completely different world. And I have a lot of respect for it, even though it's probably not as practical when it comes into MMA, but I'll still train it because it does make your submission defense better, because if you're not getting submitted in the gi, you're going to be real hard to submit without the gi.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you can master that, I mean, it's just when we went to the first Jiu-Jitsu Expo, that was the first time I got to see Rafael Lovato Jr. in person, you know, because he was an OTM sponsor fighter. And I was Sergio and I were just amazed. I'm like, man, that guy is just amazing and the nicest guy in the world, you know, or whatever. So since then, that's why Scotty's like, see, that's why I'm telling you. So he said, I'm going to do a seminar after. Come on out to the Met. Oh, my God. I thought I was going to shift my pants. But he was really nice. And he said, look, man, this is what you got to do and all that. And it was like one of the best things that ever, you know, I got to do, you know, which was cool. And I thank Scotty for that, because just little things like that where you get to see it, you know, in its purity or whatever. I was just amazed. And I guess I'm just amazed. I suck at it, and when to see somebody excels, like, you know.
Well,
and he says that too. He says, you got to get that out of your head. Go ahead.
He's a special fighter too, because
in
that jiu-jitsu world, he's very good with the gi on and without the gi on. And that's hard to do even in jiu-jitsu for just a jiu-jitsu specialist.
Yeah,
he also fights MMA and applies his jiu-jitsu in MMA at a very high level, and that's like even harder to do. Like, you don't see a lot of high level jiu-jitsu guys able to do that in MMA.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, hey, Patrick, man, I appreciate you coming on. It was, you know, took us a minute to get you on here, but I'm glad we did. We wish you all the best of luck in the world. Real quick, for the people listening to us, he's got a big fight coming up. Is it back out there at Orange County, Patrick?
Yep, it's November 11th at the Orange County Fairgrounds in the Hangar.
November 11th. Well, and if they just put – I don't have Facebook right now, so if they just put Patrick Becker and the little search engine, all your social media will come up?
Yeah, I'm sure a flyer will come up with a link to buy tickets, put my name in the promo code, and hopefully, you know, you guys – so at least somebody will make it out to this fight. If not, they'll be streaming it online. And thank you guys for the exposure and the time. And
yeah, for sure.
Next time,
man.
My mom, maybe we could talk about.
Absolutely,
yes.
We talk so much about it. My friend Mike here, he's got a show coming up. He's been literally working on it for a year, and then the COVID screwed everything up. So it's kind of good because it gave him time to kind of reset and do what he wants to do. So that's coming up in January. So we'll make sure we get you guys down to check that out.
Yeah, most definitely.
All right, you got it. For the people listening, make sure you check out Patrick Becker. I'll make sure we get it on our social media so you can come check out the fights. And I'll talk to you real soon, all right, my friend?
All right, thanks, you guys. Bye.
All right, everybody, Patrick Becker, make sure you check him out. We'll be right back after this. Hang on, everybody.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world. From weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always
use your head. Man, I got to tell you, man, I hate to do my show too long, you know what I mean, because then people get bored or whatever, but when I have, there's so much stuff I want to talk about, you know what I mean, because especially somebody like that that's in the cage and, you know, just like you asked him about, you know, his experience in there and all that. So for the people listeners, you're here, you're at WrestleBoss Live. We just got finished talking to Patrick Becker, talking a little bit about fighting and judges and stuff like that, and look forward to his fight. Dude's always in shape too. And then Jackie, you know, she's always in shape. When you're an Olympic wrestling contender, you know, she was at the trials and everything like that. I'm like, man, she's in shape. She's like, well, yeah, you got to be in shape because this is like top of the world, not just the best from Colorado. We're talking like the best from the world or whatever. So I think it keeps them two, you know, helping each other or whatever. You know what I mean? So it works out well. But anyways, Mike, so tell me what you – okay, just a little bit that you saw of the XPW Dark Side of the Ring. Tell me, give me your thoughts on that real quick, what you thought about it. Or you didn't watch enough.
No. I'm trying. It was ran kind of crappy. I'm having to choose my words wisely here. Dude had a good idea, but it was, you know, you calling out ECW, you didn't have the talent that they got, you know what I mean? And
until they folded.
Until they folded, but they, I mean, still, you know, it was, Rob Black, wow.
It's crazy.
He's a character. He reminds me of the dude that ended up buying the UWF.
Oh, yeah.
And he reminds me of him a little bit, dude. Seriously.
Herb Abrams? Yeah.
Herb Abrams.
Was that
the guy? The guy that what's his name? The Messiah?
Yes.
I saw that he got he was missing a thumb.
Yes. The stories behind that were limitless. I'm glad he got to come out and finally say what happened. But I think I told you before, like right after it happened, you know, they used to, a guy that wrestled as Big Baby Slim. As a matter of fact, I wrestled against him in XPW and he was with R-Truth and they were the new Black Panthers. But Bart was running a show in City of Industry at the Frankincense, and I guess he sent somebody to go pick him up at the border, Damien, Halloween, and somebody else, I can't remember, and Big Baby Slim was with them. So I don't know what happened. They went and picked him up, and Baby Slim comes up to me and goes, hey, man, he goes, what are these guys talking about? They keep yelling in Spanish and saying, please, Mr. Big Black Man, don't hurt me or whatever. And I go up to him. I go up to Damien. I go, what's up, man? I go, he wants to know why. He goes, no, please tell him not to cut our dick off because we heard what happened to Messiah, and they sent him. So we – and I go – I start laughing. And I go – hey, man, they think that they sent you to go cut their dick off. And he goes, what? He goes, no, man, that's not me. So they go,
oh, my God.
He goes, I thought we were being set up, man. I thought they sent him because we heard that XPW, they're cutting people's things off, and it was these big black guys, and we see this guy. No, man, it's not him or whatever. So, but here's the thing, okay? Just like anything else, you see the good with the bad. You know, I can't divulge too much because I promised somebody I would tell them on their show. But, you know, I only wrestled for XPW twice. And the first one was through Ron Rivera, who ran Revolution Pro. We did this whole thing like the job squad and stuff like that. So, okay, he literally called me like at 11 o'clock the night before. I think it was a Saturday that it was going to be done at the Olympic Auditorium. So he's like, hey, bro, we're going to do this, that. I said, yeah, hell yeah, man. Pay $100. And I'm like, all right, cool, man. So I get there, and the atmosphere was just really, really different, bro. And, you know, when I go somewhere where I'm not familiar with, I usually take somebody with me. I usually take Sergio or whatever, but I was by myself or whatever. So the good thing about it, you know, because we went through everything and we said, okay, you guys are going to be sitting out in the audience, blah, blah, blah. We're going to do this and that, right? So I hadn't seen Joey Chaos in a long time, dude. I mean, years or whatever. I knew he was an XPW. I knew he was, you know, doing well, but I was doing luchas. So the last time I had saw Joey Chaos, he was like a skinny kid. So all of a sudden, yeah, dude, it was a three-way with Joey Chaos, Nicho, and Nosawa. And all of a sudden they hit this music, you know, from Rock Superstar, you know, So You Want to Be a Rock Superstar. And I turn around and, dude, Joey comes out. He's all buffed out. He's tan. He has his hair bleached. He keeps the belt on and all that. And I went, holy shit, this is a whole different person, you know, and it just looked like something, you know. I was like, wow, huge difference. And it was all GQ Money. You know, I guess GQ Money said, look, man, this is what we're going to do. Who his real name escapes me. I'm sorry, Kevin. But he's actually working in NXT now, you know, doing stuff over there. And I thought, this guy's a freaking genius. I mean, it just really looked like something. So I noticed that, and I was like, yeah, man, that's a big difference. But, you know, the sad thing is, and I'll give you this little story real quick. We're all in the back or whatever, because they were waiting for the doors to open. They were going to send us out to go sit in the front where the doors open, when the doors opened or whatever. So there was this real buffed out cowboy, because I remember him from UPW, Rick Bassman's organization. I mean, just ripped to the bone, good-looking kid, long hair, doing this cowboy gimmick or whatever. So we're talking, and I'm looking out the corner of my eye, and I see New Jack looking at him. And he's looking at him up and down. He's got that look on his head, this bitch. You know what I mean? That type of look. And he's just kind of looking at him, you know? And then he walks over to him, and he goes, hey, what's up, man? And he goes, hey, what's going on? He goes, you wrestling tonight? He goes, oh, not really. He goes, we're just going to do a little spot or whatever. And he goes, well, why don't you go get your gear, bro, and you and I'll go in the ring. We'll wrestle a little bit before the – and I'm like, what the fuck is he talking about? And he goes, oh, I don't have my credentials. He goes, I don't have my credentials to get back in. And he goes, oh, you can use mine. So he takes his off and he gives them to him. And he goes, oh, okay. He gets all happy, starts walking away. So I didn't want to run after him and make it obvious, so I went the other way, and I caught him right before he went outside. I said, dude, do not get your bag and do not go in to wrestle with them. And he's like, why not? I go, first of all, man, that dude's not known for wrestling, you know, for doing. Mm-hmm. I said, the way he was looking, he's going to fuck you up, man. He goes, what? He's going to fuck you up. And he's, sorry, I don't mean, but that's what we were saying. And
right.
He goes, oh, are you serious? I said, yeah. So he comes back and he goes, oh, man, you know what? I didn't bring my gear, bro. I'm sorry. He goes, oh, it's cool, man. You can just go like that or whatever. And I go, dude, Ron's calling us, man. We got to get going, because they're going to open the doors. He goes, all right, man, all right. So, I mean, who knows what would – New Jack is legit crazy. You know what I mean? I mean, that's no act or no joke or whatever. He was legit. And then later on that night, he tased somebody and threw him off the scaffold or whatever. So, anyways, I
remember what he said.
What did he say?
Remember that he was caught up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Said he was so high on coke.
Yeah, he wouldn't have felt anything anyways. But
not a damn thing.
So, we'll fast forward up to when I left. And after what happened, you know, I'm like, man, these MFers and all that, you know, it's like, F these dudes, man, after everything that happened, which I have to give the whole story later on. But to his credit, man, well, first of all, I was late. I was off of work for about, I think, just like 3 or 4 days. And Ron, to his credit, came to my house and gave me my money and said, hey, man, I got your money. Here you go. You know, I'm sorry for what happened. No big deal, bro. You know, whatever. I'm like, yeah, well, it's cool. You know what happens or whatever. So then I get a call from Kevin, and Kevin goes, hey, man, you know, I'm sorry for what happened, you know, blah, blah, blah. He goes, I'll come back on this day, Pico Rivera Sports Arena. I'll make sure and give you a good match. And I'm like, all right, cool. hey, man, I thought it was just talk. But sure enough, man, he says, get your buns over to Pico Rivera Sports Arena. I got a match for you, whatever. So it was myself we're doing the cowboy gimmick Tex-Mex connection. God, I'm sorry. I can't remember his name. And we wrestled R-Truth, Big Baby Simmons, and was another dude. And that too, GQ Money came walking out, and he's looking, and he goes, hey, man. He goes, I got a good idea. He goes, Kevin, go down to the store over here and buy some black Dickies and the black Dickie shirts or whatever. And he goes, okay. So he gets everybody's size and he takes off. And he comes back and he puts them all in. He goes, you guys are going to be the new Black Panthers. He goes, people are going to hate you. And R2 was like, all right, cool. And, dude, they do so much heat. Because you see Ron Truth right now, and he's kind of what's the word I'm looking for, Mike? I don't want to say silly because he's not silly, but the character he's doing is a character?
But he's funny. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He's funny.
A comedic
type
of thing.
He's a comic relief.
But, dude,
yeah,
at this, when we wrestled him, dude, dropping N-bombs and all kinds of stuff, man, and the people hated him. And we actually had a good – the only thing was is they set up all those – like they had these bags with stuff that blew up or whatever. So they told me, watch those bags, dude, because, you know, if you step on them, they're going to blow up. And I'm like, what? So him and I are fighting outside, and he keeps going, watch out for the bags. Watch out. Favi, watch out for the bags. Watch out for the bags. He will step on a bag. So that was the only thing. But true to his word, Kevin, that was like one of the best matches I ever had. And R-Truth was the nicest guy. He you know, worked with me and everything. And it was really cool, you know, or whatever. So they were starting to get on the tail end back then. So Shane Douglas took over the book or whatever. So as I was walking out, so I told Kevin, hey, man, thanks. I appreciate it. He goes, all right, man, you know, I'll get with you, blah, 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 whatever. So I see, can you hear me? You still there, Mike?
Yeah.
Okay. Something just went crazy in my ear. And I said, hey, Shane, I said, I can go with the luchadores too, man, because Nicho and Damien and Halloween, all them, they go, I can go with the luchadores. And he turns and goes, I'm going to look at you, Fabi. I'm going to look at you. Just kept right on walking. And that was the last I ever worked for XPW or saw anything or whatever. But then, you know, I always get there early, dude. So I was able to park in the arena at the Pico Rivera Sports Arena. So I was right by the gate, you know, or whatever. Fired up my white Plymouth Acclaim. And Nicho, Damien, and Halloween, and somebody else, Ese Rios, I think, or one of those guys, were like just kind of standing in front of the car talking or whatever. So I go, I'm done, and I go to get in the car, and I thought, okay, as soon as they see me start up the car, they'll move out the way. So I start up the car, and it's warming up, and they're looking back at me or whatever, and they keep talking, and then I you know, kind of put my hands up, and they keep talking, and so I honk the horn, and they turn back, and they look at me, and they keep talking, and I'm going, what the dude, am I supposed to just run over him or what? So I go, God dang it. So I put in park and I open the door and I walk out to the front. And as soon as I got to the front of the car, they all left. So just to mess with me, dude, they waited until I got out of the car. And then they moved, and I went, puta madre. And they go, all right, finally, we'll see you later. So that was my last dealing with XPW or whatever. I met Rob Black once. I said, hey, how you doing, man? I appreciate you putting me on the show. He said, yeah, no problem. That was the only interaction I had with Rob Black. All my stuff went through Kevin, and then it went, you know, through Ron Rivera and through Kevin. So it was just those two shows was an experience, you know. But then when they showed the whole thing about XPW on Dark Side of the Ring, I thought, see, this is the stuff that people don't see, the behind the scenes, you know, because people, right. It was funny because there's a dude that wrestled as Scott Snot, and, you know, I had known him from before, and when I saw him at the show, he's like, dude, man, I'm making money. I go, he goes, oh, I'm doing porn or whatever, and I go, oh, is that right? And he's like, yeah, check this video out. And he shows me this video, and he's having sex with this lady that had to be like 80, 85 years old or whatever. Oh, and God. I'm looking, I'm going, wow. And you don't know where to go, that's really good, bro, or if you go, dude, what are you doing? So I'm like, wow, that's good, bro, that you're making money or whatever, you know. So it's like, you know, it just stuff I've never seen before in my life or whatever. So,
oh my God.
And it was just funny to see Joey talking, and then, you know, with all that, what went down with the Messiah, with what's his name's wife or whatever. And they're going, we're telling Billy, the Messiah, what are you doing, dude? You're going to ruin this for us or whatever. So, you know, it's a fine line that you walk or whatever, but that was crazy. But at least it led to this show right here, you know, because Kevin was always a true blue guy. He told me he was going to give me a good match, and he did. And then when I was working for OTM, and then when the pandemic hit, you know, I put out on my Facebook or whatever, you know, hey, they pulled the plug on OTM because, you know, of the COVID, and Scotty is in Mexico building hospitals or whatever. Dude, the next day, Kevin calls, said, come over here, bro. We'll take care of you. You know, we'll put you on, and you can have your MMA guys as well as, you know, the wrestling and stuff like that. So, I mean, you know, how can you not work hard for this guy? You know what I mean? He was really took care of. And even when the stuff went down, you know, with my daughter, with, you know, because he has experience with all these, you know, medication, seizure medication. He's like, hey, bro, call me and I'll tell you what's going on or whatever. And he said, look, if she's on this, just like, and he didn't have to do that. You know, he called and said, hey, I'm concerned. Let me know what's happening. Because that was a really, I mean, you know, Mike, that was a really rough time for me or whatever. And for him to call me and this, you know, that people just don't do that nowadays. And it was nice. So the point I'm trying to make is something really good came out of that. You know, even though I got busted up or whatever, which I'll talk to you about at a later time, you know, it led to all that. So you really can't say nothing. And did you, I don't know if you saw at the end when they talked to Sylvia, who is Joey Chaos's wife and all that, when they said, hey, would you do it all over again? Like, yeah, we'll do it. You know, so they must have had a pretty good time. So Mike, if you get a chance, watch the thing all the way through because it was really good. I mean, they're going to probably show it Thursday before they show the new one, but it was pretty good. They've been having some talks. And I talked to Phil Lander, too, who was at XPW at that time, and I got to talk to Homeless Jimmy a little bit. I didn't get to talk to him too much because he was working, so it brought a lot of us together, you know, to talk about what we went through. So do you think, Michael Parks, that there will ever be anything like that again? I don't.
No. No.
Yeah.
And see, I was at the ECW pay-per-view when XPW did their thing.
Yeah, when they got to fighting.
And, oh man. Oh yeah. And you know, I remember what happened outside the roll-up door at the Olympic. Because those dudes, if what they said on Dark Side of the Ring is true. Them dudes are some cowards, man, to leave those little guys and get stomped out like that. Because I know for a fact that at least 8 ECW wrestlers were tearing people's ass up. I mean, putting the boots, lumping people up. It was going down.
Yeah.
And if none of the guys that they were wrestlers, because the wrestlers didn't want to go back there, that says something. I don't know. Let me.
Well, it all goes.
Let me keep my comments to myself.
It all goes back to people thinking that wrestlers don't fight or can't fight or whatever to throw down, because you might have to throw down in a minute or whatever. I mean, that was, you know, that was a time when. I don't know. That it's weird because it was when it was kind of hot back then or whatever. So it was, you know, you couldn't really say XPW could compete with ECW. I think they tried to prove something too by coming over here, which to me is dumb. If you're confident in your product, no big deal or whatever. But it happens, man. Dudes, men have egos, you know, and testosterone, and you ain't coming in my territory and stuff like that. So that's what happens. If you're comfortable in your company, you shouldn't have to, right?
Yeah, but the thing is, they damn near sold the Olympic Auditorium out.
Yeah.
The place was packed.
Yeah, because they want to see it in person.
I remember vividly being there and going, oh, dude, they almost packed this. When I say almost packed it, I mean
they might have been maybe 300-400 people off. It was packed to the top, dude.
Was that when Rhino ran across the street to get some Burger King burgers, or was that a different show?
I eat at Burger King. I got down there and was like, man, I'm hungry. And I walked at Burger King, and Nietzsche was sitting at a table with this woman, and we're looking at each other, and I'm like, Nietzsche, you did my show in Compton. He's like, oh,
it's like a Tecano.
Yeah, so I left him, and we ended up walking across the street back to the Olympic, and I went in, and he stayed in the back, but yeah. That was that day. Yeah,
I'm telling you, man. It's a crazy world of wrestling that we live in. But, anyways, Mike, I'm running up against the clock. We could go on forever. As soon as I get this, talk to these people from that are going to do some stuff on XPW, because I promised them, and then I'll talk about it here. Because it was when you hear this story about what happened. I don't know if I've told it to you before. Or whatever was when we had the whole run-in with Pogo the Clown and all that stuff. I'll tell you, give you the whole nine yards on what happened, because it went on way late in the evening. So we'll talk about that. Appreciate Patrick Becker coming on and talking. Don't forget, you can check out Patrick Becker. Big fight coming up. We'll make sure we keep everybody updated on his social media. Don't forget, check out Michael Parks on Pacific Wrestling Alliance. From what we hear, he's steadily making a concerted effort to get that show going by January. So we'll keep everybody up to date on that. The question I have for you before we get out, will Marta Villalobos be on this card?
She is. She's going to be in a ladder cage.
Against Sabu?
No, against my flowers.
Oh, my God. And with Rudy Reyna in the corner or whatever. But anyways, Mike, well,
hey,
do me a favor, man. Watch that XPW Dark Side of the Ring in its entirety so we could divulge a little more on that. How about that?
I will do that. Also, the next time we're on, we have to talk about Okada bringing back the old IWGP heavyweight title, saying that's his title. And he walked out with it. He walked out with it today. And he's like, we're going to do this. So, yeah.
We'll talk about that. And we'll talk about Lance Archer spiking himself doing a moonsault when you're 6'7". How about that?
6'8".
Whatever he is. I saw that. I went, oh, my God, he's dead. But anyways. All right, Michael. Hey, I appreciate you coming on. I'll see you not next week, but the week after. And make sure you watch that, and we'll talk about it the week after. How about that?
Gotcha, man. Let's handle it.
All right. We'll see everybody here, not next Tuesday, but the following, and we'll have a lot more for you then. Mike, I'll talk to you soon.
All right, man.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world. From weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.